Diving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our mini bonus episode, which actually, is it going to be mini or just a bonus?
I think it's going to be a hybrid of sorts, but when Giacomo comes knocking on your door and says, knock, knock, I'd like to come on and promote this really cool event that I'm doing. It's on. I need to do it on a Thursday. Guess what we say?
We say, come on in, Dr. DeLuca, and have a seat virtually.
Pull up a seat and take a load off your feet. Happy to have you on a Thursday at 3 p.m.
And that's what we're going to do. We're going to chat to him. He has a really cool event coming up.
We're gonna
he was
chat
with
to
us
him.
For. Is that what I said? I don't think I've had caffeine today.
I've had a lot.
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah. We're on different pages of energy.
This is my third show of the day.
Like
truly.
Her eyes just bulged out of her head and she lifted up her giant coffee telling me she's had a lot as she's taking a sip.
Yeah.
But anyways, we are going to chat with him and talk about this cool event he has coming up and talk about Grey's Anatomy and when they're filming, if they ever are going to start filming. So I guess we'll get right to that and bring him on.
Yeah, my eyes started to twitch, so
that means he's ready.
It's time.
Yeah.
It means it's ready.
Yeah. That says it's time for Giacomo. All right, we'll be right back with him. All right, we have a very special guest. We are welcoming back into the OR. We have Giacomo Gignotti.
You said the last part of my last name. That's good.
I know. Well, I tried so hard. What was it?
Okay, we're baby steps. It's okay.
What's the first part again?
Gignotti.
Gignotti.
There you go.
Also known as Andrew DeLuca on Grey's Anatomy. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
You were part of our live virtual event, which was the one and only that we've done. For good reason, but you made it very special.
Yeah, truly the highlight.
Oh, thank you guys. It was fun talking to you guys.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of chaos. We found out later on after the show that
everybody seemed to have a really good time. Like we thought it was kind of a like disaster in terms of just like tech issues, but the people watching that were a part thought it was really, really funny and entertaining. So. Fine.
Great.
What it's there for, yeah.
So what is happening with you right now as someone in the entertainment business, someone who is an actor and obviously things have been pushed and there's no certainty of normalcy yet, at least from our perspective. Are you in the same boat? Do y'all have a set date of filming or what's happening in your world?
We're trying to get going in about a month. Still sort of locking out all the protocols and you know, how to keep everybody safe. We're going to obviously be tested multiple times a week and just what the set looks like is going to be completely different. Now, we as Grey's Anatomy actors are uniquely advantaged as that, you know, we're going to be wearing full PPE on this show.
Oh, right.
Because we're doctors, right? But other shows that are in the medical world, they can't justify being in those costumes. So they're going to have an added challenge that we won't. So I feel lucky at least to be on a doctor show where, you know, not only does it make sense for the characters to be in these protective gears, but also for us as actors to protect ourselves on set. So, you know, when we start the season, we're going to be probably about a month and a half into the COVID crisis. So it's going to be a little bit of a jump from where we left off. And I think we might be using some of what we shot that didn't air to kind of, you know, trickle through to kind of catch us up and give us context. You know, at least this is what has been told to me from some of the producers and writers. So it might not all die on the cutting room floor. We might get to see some of the stuff we shot last
year.
I was reading I was reading an article maybe last week or the week before where they said that there was four episodes from last season that we didn't get to see that they had already written.
Well, we only shot one of those. So they were written, but we only shot one of those. I think it was 23, maybe 22 or 23 that we didn't end up airing.
Yeah, but that they wanted to pick up next season, have like dealing with the pandemic. And so they were like, those episodes just might be gone.
Mm-hmm. And they still might. We don't know. You know, they're tossing around a lot of theories, and I think they want to try to find a way to save some of that footage. Maybe not all of it, but some of it.
I was so looking forward to seeing the storyline with the younger girl who was with the, it was basically involved of like she was kidnapped or being sex trafficked, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
And I feel like that's such a relevant thing. It's always relevant, but more people are talking about it more than ever, I feel like.
Definitely. And it's been a subject that's getting a lot of more attention. We just had National World Trafficking Day. So
yeah.
A lot of, that was flooding all social media. So definitely I'm happy that cause is starting to get much more traction.
I know. So I was hoping that would continue along with the pandemic storyline for Grace, since y'all are always addressing. It almost feels like Shonda's always so relevant to what's going on in the real world. It's almost
she's
like
ahead of the curve.
Yeah, it's almost like she knows what's going to happen.
Well, I mean, these are all issues, that the issues that we tackle, although maybe in the time it's coming to sort of social media, all things have been around for a very, very long
right.
time. So, yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any sense of like premonition or it's got some crystal ball. I think it's just bringing things to the forefront that maybe haven't been, but they've always been around.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I just feel like she does such a good job of bringing issues that are maybe not talked about as much to the episodes where people are talking about them because they're happening on Grey's Anatomy
right.
and all her other shows.
Definitely. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Krista runs both Grey's and Krista Vernoff runs both Grey's and Station 19. So, I mean, that kind of system or pattern kind of, exists in both shows.
What do you want to have? Do you see yourself being as Andrew DeLuca being with Meredith Grey in the foreseeable future during pandemic times?
Well, I think, this is where art imitates reality. And I think, if they're in a COVID era, intimacy, as I'm sure all of us are experiencing, especially people who are single, it's a new world in like dating and having intimacy with people because you're like, oh God, am I putting myself at risk with COVID? Have they been irresponsible? I don't know this person. Are they someone who goes to like lots of public gatherings, or are they not wearing their mask or washing their hands enough? So I think these are also questions that are also going on with everybody in the hospital as well, in terms of who their lovers are and all that kind of stuff. And, they're also around patients having to protect themselves, stay at home, self-quarantine, all these things. So I think both the actors and the characters have a little bit of fear around intimacy because of that.
Right. So nobody's going to be like dating Rogue. Yeah. They're going to want to date in the hospital.
Well, and Meredith's going to have to make a choice. She can't just be leading two men on. She's going to have to pick one to quarantine with.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah. Didn't think of that.
I also read that they were interviewing and getting notes from like actual doctors who've been dealing with the pandemic right now for the storylines for next season. Have you been privy to any of those conversations or any of those stories?
Yeah, I think, obviously there's a couple things at play. There's of course the virus itself and just how terrifying and scary this time has been for everybody. There's, the stories of the nurses and the doctors who have been on the front lines, who have put themselves at risk. A lot of them have died. There's been a lot of mental health crises going on within the nurses and doctors community. There's been suicides of doctors and nurses because they were so overworked, so overstressed, so unable to, have any time for themselves to decompress in these like really highly stressful environment. I'm sure you've seen those photos of those doctors and nurses that have like marks all over their face
yeah.
because, they've been wearing that you know, gear for, you know, 18 hours plus without taking it off. And so we definitely want to tell some of those stories of these amazing, amazing medical workers and, you know, the lengths that they've been going through to save people's lives at the risk of their own life. And then there's obviously politically a lot has been happening in this time with protests and the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, in these months that, you know, a different kind of people have been putting their lives on the lines by going out and marching. And so we definitely want to include those stories and how they correlate. You know what I mean? There's been a lot of violence by police, and which leads people to go to hospitals so then our doctors can treat them. So all these things are very, you know, it's easy to just kind of like follow the thread of how we can kind of connect all these things into the hospital. And then the third thing is that, you know, normally in Grey's Anatomy, a big part of our casting and what we have fun with our characters is the family of the patients that we cast, right? But now, as I'm sure you guys know, the patients who have been admitted into hospitals, whether they have COVID or not, were not allowed to have a loved one enter the hospital. So you have a lot of patients and people who were dying, who are having to, you know, live out their last breaths all alone, or maybe look at their loved one through a phone virtually, which is unimaginable and horrible. So we want to tell those stories of the loneliness, of the, you know, separation that a lot of these people have had during this time. And you know, when you're about to die, I mean, there's nothing else you probably want than someone you love holding your hand, and not having that is just so horrible. So these are all kind of things that we're going to be exploring this season.
I feel like sometimes the last, I can't remember when it was, who we had on, but I think it was they were saying how Grey's Anatomy that season was going to be a little more lighthearted and fun and funny, and I feel like this season's definitely going to be kind of in line with what's happening in the world and the reality of what it's been like for not only the nurses and doctors, but like you said, the patients, of the people who are just alone in this really scary time, not having their people around them. So,
yeah, and like, just because, you know, there's a pandemic, that doesn't mean that people don't get hurt, or that women aren't having to go through pregnancies, and all these other medical things still exist and have to happen, and have to have medical attention, you know what I mean? So it's not like we can just do COVID. We also have to tell the story of, you know, even though that's happening, all these other very normal kind of, you know, things in the hospital still happen. And those people still need to get treated and are still important and are still valid and still need, you know, our time and our attention.
I saw a tweet that said, are we still able to get regular sick? Because I feel like we've all had, it's either you're healthy or you have COVID. We forget that you're a lot, like you have allergies and you can get a cold or a stomach virus.
I know, but I think everybody's just so paranoid.
I know, but it was saying like, does regular sick still happen? And it does. But just like you're saying, there's still car accidents. There's, you know, Grey's loves a traumatic car accident too. So I don't doubt that you'll incorporate all of the things.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, no shortage of stories to tell, definitely, after these past couple of months that we've all been, you know, locked up in our houses.
Have you guys been keeping in touch, like, as a cast? Like, do you have a group chat, or I don't know?
Not too much, here and there. Yeah, like, here and there, we'll check in with each other. I mean, the thing with social media, it's like, I can just look at your social media and, like, know you're doing okay. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, they're doing well. Like, they're on a horse. Cool. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to check in with you. You look really happy. You know what I mean? Like,
just send a DM, respond to a story if you need.
Nice horse.
Need any validation? Exactly. Nice horse.
Yeah. That was a weird example. I don't know. The first thing that came to my head.
I'm like, who was it? We're like looking to see who was on a horse recently. Are you going to talk about the event?
Yeah, okay, I want to talk about the event that you're a part of. It's My Friend's Place virtual event. And you guys kind of pivoted because you had to cancel your gala? Gala?
Yeah. I've heard they both. I don't even know what's right myself anymore. But
I don't know which one's right either. So I usually say gala, but I think it's gala. Yeah. But you had to cancel it, obviously, due to COVID. And so you pivoted and you're doing it virtually this year.
Right.
And so you're gonna host the final night of it, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I can. So yeah, normally we do a big gala. It's like 3 or 4 hours long. We got a lot of like celebrities to come. We raise a ton of money. There's a live auction. Everybody gets all dressed up. It's an amazing night. But we had to pivot because of COVID. So we wanted to create something that was both exciting and fun, but also accessible and not too time consuming for people. So instead of having it be one day, we decided to make sort of a almost week long summer festival. So it's 5 days. Starts this Sunday with a benefit concert with a ton of amazing artists that you know. We got JoJo, Mario, Kenzie Ziegler, a lot of other acts as well. So it's very varied. There's a lot of different music for everybody. So that's going to be amazing. The event is free. You can stream it on my friend's place's Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. So definitely tune into that. That's going to kick off our week. And the rest of the week just has every day a workshop. So Monday we got a yoga class. So that's $25. You sign up, you get a Zoom link, and all you need is a yoga mat and a Zoom account, and you're in. That's really easy and a fun way to kind of just decompress. Then we got drag queen bingo. On the 11th. So we got one of LA's top drag queens to host this really fun bingo with lots of prizes. So that's going to be really fun. That's $25 as well. The 12th, we have art for the whole family. So we're going to have one of my friend's place volunteers who would normally guide an art class at my friend's place, guide all of you through an art class. So you just get whatever art supplies you have at home. This is really good for families and kids.
Yeah, that's so nice. Connect
everybody. So whether you got paint or crayons or pencils, whatever you got, just get around the computer and he'll take you through a class where you guys can all as a family kind of get creative. That's also $25. For the adults, we have on the 12th a wine tasting. This is $75. And if you live in the LA area, we'll send you 2 bottles of wine and you'll get a Zoom link an hour before. And this is a virtual wine tasting. So they'll walk you through these 2 wines that we've sent you and you can learn all about them. And
wait, that's so cute.
So that's a really cool one. And then the last night is called A Night United. And that's the one that I'm hosting. This is sort of a celebration of all of our champions that we're honoring this year. So this year we're honoring Anne Blanchard, who's a CAA agent, and Rosanna Arquette, the very well-known actress who's been a longtime supporter of my friend's place. So, that's also, we got some great guest speakers. We got some amazing video footage of what's been going on at my friend's place so people can see, you know, how they've been responding to this time. So I just encourage you all to find something you like, sign up for it, and it all goes to a great cause. And, you know, you're all at home anyway, so why not spend like 1 hour of that day doing something fun?
And I think that's so nice too, because I think we're at this point in the quarantine that everyone's just kind of out of ideas and things to do. Like I find myself to be a creative person. I was doing like, you know, restaurant date nights in the beginning and like coming up with all these cute ideas. And I'm like, I'm scraping the barrel on my brain. So the fact that you guys kind of put the work in for us, all we have to do is just buy a ticket and
show up.
Yeah. That's really nice.
You don't even have to show up. You just stay exactly where you are.
True. I just want to give the website out for everybody that's listening. It's www.myfriendsplace.org. So you can go there for tickets for every night if you guys want to go check that out.
That's right.
I think we have a few fan questions for you if you're up for hanging with us a little longer.
Yeah, they're actually, we had a lot of fan questions wanting to ask you stuff about just like as a man.
Like advice from a man's perspective is what she's trying to say. As a man.
As a man. Yeah, they want the male's perspective on things.
All right. I'll do my best. I am a man, so it will be a man's answer.
Okay, perfect. They want to know your favorite date night activity in quarantine.
Mm-hmm. Let's go for a motorcycle ride with my wife, right? We have helmets on, and so that's like protecting our face. And yeah, we just ride and we don't have to interact with anybody or, you know, touch anything, and we can just ride, and it's just really meditative and beautiful, and you can go somewhere remote, you know, away from people. And yeah, that's pretty much it. You know?
Does she have her own motorcycle or does she ride with you?
No, she just rides on the back of mine.
Oh,
I gathered that.
You never know. It's you true, just you never know.
Lots of women ride. Yeah, she doesn't.
Yeah. I had a friend who I rode on the back. I was terrified, honestly. But yeah, she was badass. She rode with all the men. And
remember when we tried to ride a bird together? I didn't want to get my own bird. Remember when birds were like really cool? And so I got on the back of Becca's bird, and like we were probably going 2 miles an hour because they're like not meant to hold two people.
Definitely made for one.
And out on those things in Hollywood, they look really dangerous.
So dangerous.
Yeah, but I don't think that was when they first came out, and it felt really free to be able to just show up anywhere and get on a scooter. But now it feels scary.
Yeah. Okay, this is another question. She said, is a girl in her 30s who's never been in a relationship a red flag?
I mean, but then we have to constitute what a relationship is.
Oh, good question. Maybe like committed relationship, exclusive.
Like a long-term committed relationship.
I would say a monogamous committed relationship.
Yeah.
For any extent of time.
Is that a red flag? I don't think that's a red flag. It's like clearly that woman knows what she wants and she's after it. You know what I mean? I don't think that's a red flag.
That is, you know what? That's like the answer I would hope for.
That's a man's answer.
That's a man's answer. That's a good one.
But I think, you know, if I was a man who was, you know, looking for a life partner, looking to settle down, I'd certainly ask why. I'd certainly, you know, have some curiosities, not of judgment, but just of like, oh, like, that's interesting. Like, why do you think that has never happened for you? Has that been by design? Or have you just never really clicked with somebody? You know what I mean?
Right. Or have you not been putting yourself out there?
Yeah, because I think from the outside, you could say like, oh, like you said, like a, you know, red flag, or they've never, but, you know, love is even a connection, forget love, is a really hard thing to find sometimes. And so it takes everybody a different time.
Yeah. And I think I know I have some friends too that didn't have a relationship until their late 20s. And it was honestly because they were just so painfully shy. Like they just never put themselves out there. Oh, so yeah, it was like, and then as more time goes on, they get more and more awkward. You know what I mean? So it was just like a double-edged sword because they were like, I don't know how to put myself out there, but it's been so long. I like don't know what I'm doing. It's like I'm like a baby thrown into a pool.
Yeah. And you just gotta keep swimming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Dory says, float.
Okay. Oh, this is a good one. What age are men ready?
For what?
I was just about to say, is that the end of the question?
Yeah, like ready. You know what ready.
To settle down?
Yeah.
That question doesn't make any sense. There's not an age thing.
So you think it's the girl?
I think it's
like the person.
No, I think it's the state of mind. I think it's like you yourself as that individual have to be ready and willing to like receive that. You know what I mean? And if you're not in a place to receive that because you haven't sorted out stuff in your life, then those things probably won't come to you yet because you're not ready for them. I saw this thing on Instagram the other day of like, it was this woman who tweeted like how I always help my other girlfriends, like, you know, we went to a job interview together and she got it, like, and I took her to it. So she didn't know about it. And I took her to the thing and she got it. And I was happy for her because there's enough for all of us to eat and what's meant for me won't miss me. And I was like, whoa, I love that. So I think for the same thing with love, like what's meant for you won't miss you. So you know, things are kind of, I believe that there's sort of like a things are meant to be to a certain degree. I think you just have to be in the state of mind that you want that. You know what I mean? I don't think it's about like an age or the person, but yeah, certainly a person can certainly accelerate those things. If you find this like incredible person and you're like, wow, I wasn't really planning on, you know, being in a committed relationship now or being married, but like, wow, this person has like totally rocked my world and I can't see myself being with anyone else. Then you would maybe settle down with that person. But
I love that. What's meant for you won't miss you.
It won't.
That's really good advice.
Won't.
You just know.
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't know if you knew that before he said that or if that struck. It struck me a little bit. Did you have, during quarantine times, have you picked up any different hobbies or done anything different that maybe you didn't have time for before?
Yeah, I mean, for the first little while, I was doing this like little poetry show on my Instagram every day, at least Monday to Friday. I'd read a poem and like talk about it, and I'd invite like different friends of mine or other actors or artists to come on and read a poem from like their culture or their language or something, and thought it was really fun and really engaging. But the protests and everything started happening, and I just felt like a lot, along with a lot of other people, that it was maybe better to kind of like step back from Instagram a little bit and give the voices that needed to be heard at this moment. So, but that was about it. New hobbies? Can't say.
Like, or did you read in, like, are there any books that you read that you had been wanting to read, and when you had the time, you got them done? Or?
My wife and I adopted a dog. That's really taken up a lot of my time, but in a great way. I mean, he keeps me really busy, and he's been a great source of joy in our life. So
I feel like that had just happened the last time we talked to y'all, or talked to you.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had just got him the last time I spoke to you guys.
Yeah. I don't know if y'all were sleeping much. When I first got my dog, I don't remember a lot of things because I was sleep deprived.
Well, he's 2.5 years. We didn't get a puppy. So he's, super young, but he's definitely, I guess in his dog years, like a teenager. So he's got, he's potty trained and all that kind of stuff. He's just got a little separation anxiety. That's pretty much, he doesn't like it when we leave. So we try to like leave during the week more often. And like, maybe you would normally do like by ourselves, like I'll get the groceries or she'll get the groceries. Now we're like trying to do it together so that we both leave the house and he gets more used to being left alone and being okay with it. Every rescue dog comes with their traumas.
I know. Separation, I feel the separation anxiety from my dog. Like we both feel it. And I got her as a puppy, and I feel like that is very common for every dog, because I just never wanted to, I felt so much guilt leaving her. And then someone told me, they're like, you're gonna regret that. You need to establish those boundaries. So it's really hard.
For sure.
Boundaries. Don't even get me started on boundaries. I just started a book called Boundaries.
Okay. Oh God. I don't think he has time for that today, for your analysis of boundaries.
It's so good. Oh, it's so, I've been reading like a ton of self-help books. So
boundaries are very important for your life and for your mental health, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, one quick question. This is just a personal question. I know you're married, but like if you were, let's just say you back in the day when you were dating, if you were on a date with somebody and they told you that they were reading a book called Calling in the One, would that scare you?
Calling in the One?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is. What, Calling in the One?
Like you're calling in the One.
Like you're manifesting the One.
I don't think that would freak me out at all.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah, if you had a connection with someone, that wouldn't, like, that would just be like, oh, cool, they're reading,
Yeah, it's just funny because
I think it would scare me if you started, like showing me tactics you were using from the book in our date.
The book doesn't give you like tactics. The book is more like self-help. Like it kind of makes you look inward and deal with things like internally versus giving you like pickup lines and tools in that sense. Okay. But it's funny because I read this book last year and I literally finished the book and I met my now boyfriend. And so I've talked about it a lot on the podcast, and a ton of scrubbers will message me and be like, I'm reading the book. I'm going on a date. Is it weird if I tell him I'm reading the book? And I was like, that's a great question. I don't know if I'd mention the title, but
I don't know.
What would be the difference? What would be the difference between you saying that and then just sharing with your date that I'm like really looking for someone to fall in love with, and like that's in the place in my life that I'm at? Like, what?
That's true. I mean, I mentioned it on my first date with my current boyfriend. I was like, I'm reading this book, and it helped me realize a ton of my past dating patterns that led me down like a bad path.
I think that's fine.
Yeah.
I think anything where you're talking about learning about yourself is okay. I think the title, I agree, comes off a little. Oh. Oh.
And the one, calling in the one, and I hope that's you.
Yeah. Well, maybe not that face and like hand gesture, but like just saying it is fine.
Right, right, right. I don't have like an in between. Like I'm either like a zero or a 100, you know? So
150.
My eyes like bulge out. Yeah.
It's really a, she's an expressive one. Giacomo, thank you so much for your time again. Everyone go be a part of this live virtual event. It sounds like it's going to be awesome.
I'm going to sign up for the wine night.
What are the dates again, Tanya?
August 9th, this Sunday, is the benefit concert. It's free. Don't miss that. It's an amazing, just tune in for that and watch all your favorite artists perform. I don't know why anyone wouldn't tune in for this. It's going to be awesome. And then during the week, for anywhere from $25 to $75, there's workshops ending on August 13th. So go to mfpsummerfest.givesmart.com. That's going to take you right to all the tickets. As you said before, just the regular My Friends Place website can also get you there as well.
Yeah. And we can actually throw a swipe up link on our Scrubbing In account too for you guys. Great. If you want to just swipe up and have it right there. Yeah. I'm going to do the wine night and possibly the paint night as well.
You have some beautiful artwork.
I've been doing a little painting during quarantine.
Awesome. It's
not good, but I mean,
can you show me? Right?
You want to see it? Yeah. Actually, it's kind of good. Hold on.
You want to take mine? Oh. She's going to bring it over.
Oh, you guys are
very we're in the same place.
That like freaked me out. I was like,
"Oh yeah, we're sitting across the table, but my setup is only like geared to like for me to have the video, so Becca has to like log on her phone."
That's so funny. She just like pops up behind me.
Yeah, I was like, "Whoa."
Okay, so my boyfriend and I each painted what we see in each other, and so this was his painting of me.
Oh, okay. X's over the eyes?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like, it's supposed to look like some artist. I'm not totally sure the name of the artist, but somebody does this.
It's cool. I like it.
It's a little scary.
Has a halo.
The halo was really redeeming. When I looked at it, I was like, oh.
You're like, I'm an angel. Of course I am. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a little scary. And then I did what I see when I look into his eyes. So there's like an ocean and a sun and little hearts.
Oh, beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, she's really going to crush the virtual paint night.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. You should definitely go on the paint night.
I know. I'm actually kind of looking forward to it for real.
Well, it sounds amazing. We can't wait. We'll do a swipe up link for our scrubbers. And thanks again for your time.
I mean, we kind of just like love having you. So when you guys start filming again, if you want to come back on, happy to have you. Sure. We love you. We will support everything and anything you do. Again, I remember, we'll never forget the first time we met you and how amazing and kind you were to us. So you're just like on the top of the list for life. We're like, president of your fan club.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you guys so much. Have a great day. And thank you for helping me spread awareness about this.
Yeah. Thank
you. Of course. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, guys.
I wish that y'all could see how handsome he is when we're talking to him.
I know, just so cool. But you know what, Mark, I'm a little bit bummed because I really wanted you to like pop in Zoom on the end of the interview so he could be like, "Dad's here again." I was like, wait. And then I wanted to text you to tell you to do it, but I just couldn't.
Well, that would have been a fun throwback. But you know, it's weird. I'm in a closet. It's all weird.
No, but I feel like he would have done the same thing. He would have been like, "Dad's here."
Dad's here. That was so funny.
And by the way, it is weird that Red Star painted you with X's over your eyes. I agree with him. I think we've all pointed that out. It's strange.
Did you rub the angel?
I'm sorry.
Look on the back.
Yeah.
She thought I was crazy. There's something on the back? It does.
So, yeah. Well, no. So we signed and dated him on the back. And
wait a minute. Did you write "I love you" on the back?
Huge, if true.
Oh, I can't really say because it's his initials.
Okay, but I thought you said EYE as an I, because you do an I.
Oh, yeah, because I drew his eye.
Right. I love you.
Do you love or a heart?
What does it say after EYE?
There's a heart.
And then, oh, then it's initials?
Correct.
Got it. So you told him you loved him in April.
No, I didn't.
But that's what it says.
Is a heart the same as I love you, though?
No, it's not.
Like, I don't love New York, you know?
It's less valid.
I think.
Right, like, I heart.
No,
like,
no. It's not.
But his says Rub the Angel,
that's
which
weird,
is the thing
I'm right.
questioning.
No,
yeah.
He calls me Rub. Rub's my nickname. So
why?
It's like Tanya the Angel. Yeah. There's a backstory. There's like, I didn't know what the
sexual.
Term that's, no, it's not sexual. No. Actually, I wish it was. I didn't understand the term that's the rub. I'd never heard that before. I'd never in my life heard that. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know.
And he was like, you don't know what that means? And so he tried to explain it to me. It didn't make any sense. So I started using it in different scenarios. I was like, and there's the rub. And he's like, you're not using it right. Like, I just stuck, never could get it right. And so he just started calling me T-Rub.
Gotcha. Not sexual.
Not that. I wish it were.
But Rub the Angel.
So, like, basically, like, Tanya the Angel is the name of this. But it's supposed to be, like, some sort of artist that does this, but I don't remember the name. But Patty, when I showed Patty, she's, like, she's, like, hip to artists, I guess, and she knew exactly who he was trying to, like, imitate with this.
Great.
Okay.
Picasso?
Not Picasso. It's like some, I don't know. But yeah, I know. I agree. I was like, why do I have X's over my eyes? And like braces.
Those are just the lines in your teeth.
They look
very
like braces.
Straight teeth.
And I look like Donald Trump, honestly. Like, I was slightly offended by it until.
It does kind of look like Donald Trump.
Yeah, the halo. I was like, thank God you drew a halo.
And can we see the one that you painted? And we're going to post these somewhere because, you know, people need to know what we're talking about.
Yeah, we can post these.
That's cute.
So it's just a giant eye with waves in it and birdies and butterflies.
No, they're not birds. They're hearts.
They're hearts.
Literally, my painting looks like a 5-year-old could have done it.
They
truly.
Both, to be fair, they both do.
But his is at least a little more artistic.
No. I think they both look like they were done by 5-year-olds.
No.
His is very upsetting to me. I'm
go.
Sorry. That's a, yeah, a scary
it's
image. And then the rub the angel on the back. Like,
yeah.
Imagine
the
someone
the
just
angel
finding it.
Through me.
Having no context.
Yeah. Like, looking how scary the X is over the eyes, they flip it over, rub the angel.
He was really upset. No, he was really upset that I didn't have bigger canvases. He was like, I just want bigger.
I can't work like this.
So he got bigger. He got bigger canvases for us, so we're going to do it again.
Okay. Oh, wow. Needed more space to express himself.
Correct. Which I'm slightly terrified of.
Yikes.
And my other point from that interview is that men are ready at the age of 33. I think there's no question about that. I'm surprised he dodged the question. 33 is the age.
That's my age.
I know. But how old is he?
Stand by. I'll have that information for you very soon.
I just feel like you can't put an age on that.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think you can.
Are
put
you
an
basing
age on
that
it.
Off?
Yeah, 31.
31. Are you basing that off of like scientific facts of developmental stages?
I'm saying that on average, when guys in their 20s are very immature and still in the video game hanging out drinking phase of their lives. And then when they get to 30, they try to hang on to that video game drinking phase of their lives for as long as they can. It's at 33 when they realize, oh crap, I really need to grow up at some point, and now is as good a time as any. And that's when they realize that they're going to have to get serious.
So maybe he didn't know the answer because he's only 31.
Maybe, yeah, he hasn't gotten there yet.
He's married, though.
I know, but like, he probably just... He, for him, it was more probably his wife that brought it out of him. You know what I mean?
That's what he was saying, though. He said when you meet someone and you're ready to receive that, then you can decide it when you're
yeah,
ready.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like you really, it's not based on like their age, but maybe their mental age. So some men, I feel like, are old souls, which Giacomo, I think, is.
Yeah, I do too.
So he's really 31, but I feel like mentally, he's like 47. Very advanced.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, wow. We really advanced him. Yeah, he does come. I didn't think he was 31.
Yeah.
Well, that was good. That was a good interview. I thought we got some good Grey's scoop.
Yeah, for
I'm
sure.
I'm thrilled that they're like have a date set in like the next month to start things.
I know that is not what I read. So that was some insider scoop right there.
I had not even thought about the fact that they can all wear masks and everything's fine. It's just a normal show for them. Like,
yeah.
That wouldn't work on Modern Family. Like, that's kind of a great thing.
I know. And the other thing I did, I knew that they were going to do all these stories with the doctors. Excuse me. But what I didn't realize, and what I guess I just forgot about, was that all the patients are not going to be able to have people there. So that's going to be a whole other element.
It is. And it's interesting.
They're going to really lean on the doctors.
I know. That's what I was going to say. And I feel like...
a lot of Izzy situation.
Yeah, I don't need more Izzy Denny situations. But I am just thrilled that there's a start date in sight.
Yeah, same.
Also, did you know The Bachelorette is going to air in September? They're filming it now, and I guess they plan on airing it in September?
Correct.
I'm really excited about that.
By the way, I'm excited about that. Like, I'm never excited about a Bachelor season. I'm excited because of the drama, but also because it's something new to watch.
I agree.
How in the world do they get so lucky where these dramatic, amazing things happen that cause for, like, excitement and uproar? Like, who knew that Claire was going to fall in love with someone, and then she was like, I don't want to do it anymore, and then they bring in someone else?
I don't know, but I have a little mission. Since we are going to Palm Springs this weekend, I feel like you and I should do some sleuthing.
Oh my gosh, I'm so down.
I know where they're staying.
I do too.
Let's like sleuth.
Are you going to try and break their bubble?
No. We will not. We will not break the bubble. We will not expose ourselves to anybody on that set, but we will definitely get some binoculars. We
walk around the premises?
Hell yeah.
I'm honestly so down to do that.
Yeah. Are you kidding? I'm going to do some sleuthing.
I'm with you. I'm in it.
You know why I think this happens to them? I think they've learned over the years to lean into stuff like this. I think in the old days, they had a structure, and this is how it's going to go. And if somebody started to, you know, go off course, they would say, look, you signed a contract, get back on course. But now, when Claire says, I don't want to do this anymore, they go, interesting. There's a lot of potential for publicity here, for ratings here. I think they've learned to go wherever it goes.
You're so freaking right.
That's nice to hear.
It's true.
I feel like had this happened like 10 years ago, they would have like forced Claire to stay and like finish out the season, blah, blah. And like, this is way better because it's like real.
And this has probably happened before, that somebody's known very early on who they were going to end up with, but they go through the motions anyway.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the producers are so good at saying like, hey, you never know like what could change in this amount of time. Like, just lean into it, give it a chance. They really like, you know, would be convincing of why it would be productive and positive to stay and see if anything changes. But I agree, Mark. I like that they're just like, all right, you're ready to go, then we'll do the next.
Yeah, and like, not only were we excited to see this season because it's gonna look totally different because quarantine and all this stuff, it's not in the mansion, but now the fact that there's this whole plot twist and they're going to bring in a new girl. Like, are they going to reuse men? Like, I mean, it's all so good. Like, literally, it's so good.
They do a great job. Got to hand it to them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You should dress up as waiters at the resort.
Oh, my gosh, Tanya.
That's piercing the bubble. You said you're not going to do that.
Oh, right.
Serving food and drinks.
Or can
we? On that note, make sure you go get tickets to Giacomo's virtual event this coming up on Sunday, starting on Sunday, myfriendsplace.org. And we will see you next time.
In Palm Springs.
In Palm Springs.
Bye-bye.